You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by BlackRifleCoffee.com. Put down the water and grab a fucking drink. Drink.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, kids. I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say that those guys are still in the middle of the move to San Antonio. Instead, what I'm going to say is this. We've got the OG back on the show tonight. We've got Vincent Rocco Vargas joining us live from Los Angeles. All of us have been best friends for years at this point. I've read a couple varying messages on why Rocco left, or speculation of why Rocco isn't on the show. Rocco left the show because he blew the fuck up. He got two TV series back to back. He's in Los Angeles, I don't know, probably 9 months out of the year now, and he's just not near us anymore. And his schedule is too busy. When you're out shooting TV shows like this, it's a 15-hour a day gig, and he still loves doing podcasts. He started his own podcast, but he needed to do it on his time and his schedule, and not ours. And that was the simple fact of it. But again, we're all still best friends in real life. And he called me up and said, "Hey, man, I've got one day off next week, and I'd love to do the Drinking Bros." And I was like, "Great, call me, and we'll record." And we hop back into it, just like he had never left. So super psyched to have Rocco back on the show. As always, we have some sponsors. Before we get into the sponsors, I'd like to give a personal shout out to you guys. My new book, When Darkness Falls, He Doesn't Catch It, the sequel to At Night She Cries While He Rides His Steed, is now on pre-sale. You guys went out and have been buying it opening day, and it's been crushing the charts. I unbelievably, I can't believe the support and all that shit. If every one of you, I've never asked you to buy anything on this show. I've made suggestions with the sponsors. I'm like, "Hey, we like this or we like this." I've never asked you to buy anything from me. If you could just buy this book in hardback off of Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com, that would truly mean the world to me. As you know, we've talked about it on a couple other shows. The comedy in it is super aggressive. I even leaked the audiobook to this show. Everybody loves the audiobook. And the new one is even more aggressive than the last one. I had an issue with the publisher, who was Simon & Schuster. They didn't want me to put a sex scene in the book with Harriet Tubman, nor did they like that storyline. I told them to go fuck themselves. And not only did I put it in there, but I put myself and Harriet Tubman on the cover of the book. They were not pleased with that. However, the way my contract was structured, they didn't have a choice. So it's either they print what I wrote, or I got to do it on my own and tell them to fuck off. That's exactly what happened. And to be on the New York Times bestseller list would be an amazing fuck you to the world. The best way I can possibly get there is through pre-sales, because all of those pre-sales count for your opening week. The New York Times bestseller list, the way it works is it is a weekly thing, not a overall thing. So it doesn't matter so much how many copies you had sold over the lifespan of your book. It matters if you had enough sold during that 1 week, and then it starts over the following week. You typically have to sell somewhere between 6,000 to 7,000 hardbacks your opening week, and you make the New York Times bestseller list. When Darkness Falls, He Doesn't Catch It is currently available in hardcover now, and you can pre-order it. It comes out August 14th, but all of those pre-sales count towards this. If it just one, every listener just bought one copy, I would be on the New York Times bestseller list opening week, and it would truly shock the world and change the way that we look at aggressive content coming out going forward, not only with my book, but with Matt's book as well. Matt's book is currently held up at the Department of Defense. Both of him, we share joint writing on the book. If since my book is coming out first, if that hits the New York Times bestseller list and I become a New York Times bestselling author, it will put more pressure on them to get Matt's book out faster. So this is the one time I'm going to ask you, please go out and pre-order my book, When Darkness Falls, He Doesn't Catch It, and actually buy it. This is the first time I'm going to ask you to buy it. I'm going to keep reminding you to buy the book. Don't think that I won't do that. This one, I'm actually asking you just to go out and buy it. It'll really support the show. It'll really help us. It'll help get Matt's book out faster. And in this upcoming interview that you're about to hear with Rocco, he's dealing it with the TV show that he's been shooting for the last year. We're not allowed to talk about the network because the show still might go forward, but the content that he was shooting is involving guns. And in particular, networks and Hollywood and all of that shit shy away from anything that's aggressive or anything that advertisers might pull out of. And he's going through it on his own. He'll be able to describe that to you. But just know that it's not only going on in books, it's going on in television, and it's going on in movies. So the more support we can get by people buying these books independently, supporting us independently, the more we'll be able to put more of this content out into the world that people enjoy. In this book too, with When Darkness Falls, He Doesn't Catch It, they also said I killed too many people. They said the characters killed too many people, it's too many guns, too much sex, all that other bullshit. Buying a copy of this and having this come out on the New York Times bestseller list would really show the world that people want this content and they're tired of being fucking pussies. So please, by all means, check out When Darkness Falls, He Doesn't Catch It, and pre-order it now. Without further ado, I'm going to get into the rest of our sponsors. Then we're going to talk to Vincent Rocco Vargas for a good hour, just like old times. First and foremost, we're talking about BlackRifleCoffee.com. Black Rifle Coffee is a premium roast-to-order coffee. These guys are doing it right, doing it tight, doing it all fucking nights. It's owned by Evan, Matt, and Jared. Not only is it my favorite coffee, but it's owned by my best friends, and it's veteran-owned, kids. You got to get yourself the subscription of the month club. Get the coffee club of the month club. There's a promo code of Drinking Bros that it's good for a one-time use of 20% off. And I would highly recommend using it on the coffee club of the month. It's some of the finest coffee out there, and their apparel is second to none. Big fan of BlackRifleCoffee.com. Promo code Drinking Bros, 20% off, one-time use. Next up, we've got StrikeForceEnergy.com. Woo! Strikeforce is our day one homies. They're not our side chick. They're our main chick. Talking about four original flavors. Lemon, orange, original, and Make America Grape Again. They got boxes of 10, 40, and they got a 750 milliliter bottle that rests on your bar top or countertop, and you just boom, boom, pop a couple squirts in, and motherfucking G-O. It's a tasty, tiny little tin pouch that squeezes into any liquid available. You can kick the can, kids. You don't need the Monster. You don't need the Red Bull. You don't need the Kickstart. None of it. Go to StrikeForceEnergy.com. Type in the promo code Drinking Bros for 20% off. That promo code is good every single time. And they also ship everywhere around the world, which is a nice thing. We've had some beers tonight. We're gonna have a really great show. Next up, we've got ghostbed.com. Ooh, sleep so good, it's scary. Last time I slept in that bed, I'm not going to say I got jacked off by a ghost, but I may have. GhostBed.com is doing it real big these days. Their Craftmatic adjustable bed comes with a fucking remote on it, and it's also got USB ports. You're thinking to yourself, I can't build that, Ross. They can't ship that to me, and I can't fucking build it. You don't need it. It ships the same as the mattress. It comes to your house, you pull it out of the box, and boom, you're ready to go. No more assembly. That's it. You don't have to do shit on that. They've also got a new mattress that the bed is 15 degrees cooler. So if your wife is killing that thermostat, this is the bed you got to get. And I heard a rumor, a nasty little rumor, that they've got sheets now. I'm going to confirm with them before I plug it, but I think they've got sheets as well. Go to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros or type in the promo code drinking bros. Usually it's good for $50 off and two free pillows, but now they're just giving you the best deals they can on the planet. And I think that Craftmatic bed's like $400 off, which is dope. But go to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros and check it out for yourself. They also have a pay as you go plan, which is nice. So you don't have to plunk down a shit ton for a mattress before your tax money comes in. Go to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. Next up, we've got Grill Your Ass Off. Huge fan of Grill Your Ass Off. Not only because of their seasonings for meats, not because of their new habanero seasoning. They got seasonings for chicken, steak, all of it. But now they have jerky. Oh boy. Did I butt fuck their bags of jerky the other night? They got four bags. The jerky's about $6.99 a piece. It's just as amazing as their seasoning. And they sell the fuck out of that. It is literally in one day and out the other. It's amazing. Their jerky is so good. I would get the four pack because it's $25. You're saving yourself about $7 on that shit. And a big fan of all of it across the board. They're hot and spicy, or they're spicy and sweet is my jam. I love it. Go to grillyourassoff.com. Type in the promo code Drinking Bros for 15% off at Grill Your Ass Off. Ass eating season's over. It is time for grilling season. Go to grillyourassoff.com. Promo code Drinking Bros, 15% off. Next up, we've got Grenade Soap. Oh, it's coming in. It's coming in hot. You're showering. You're bathing. Boom, somebody lobs in a grenade soap into the tub. Guess what? It's going to be an explosion of sensation all over your body. They've also got a taint scrubber, which is no lie. A lot of people have been hitting us up saying, Ross, is that real? Do they really have a fucking taint scrubber? Yes, they do. It fits on your hand, kind of like the Hamburglar. And you can just scrub your taint, your asshole, you're good to go. That way you're not stuffing a bar of soap up your ass. They've also got amazing bath products, kind of like Bed Bath & Beyond, as a dude. And you can soap up. Their soap, their grenade soap is made with real gunpowder, so you know it's good. You know you're scrubbing your orifices. Cleans is what you're doing. Go to grenadesoap.com. Type in the promo code DRINKINGBROS for 20% off at Grenade Soap. Big fan of those guys. Last but not least, we're talking about the Kayu app. It's K-A-Y-U. It's free. No strings attached. Created by two Green Berets out of Fort Bragg. We are actually doing a live show with them in Fort Bragg on May 12th. Come on out to Fort Bragg, the Cameo Art House. We're doing a full-on live show with the Kayu guys. Look, with Facebook going down in flames, everybody's looking for new social media apps. Try out Kayu. Again, it's free on your Android, iPhone, and it hooks up travel, lodging, hookups. A lot of people have been banging off of it, which is nice. And it also rates the humans, which I really, really appreciate. Because there's nothing worse than seeing a human that's unrated where you're like, man, am I going to have a good time with this guy? I don't know. If they got a fucking 3.2 on Kayu, you know they're no good. Go to Kayu. Load it up on your phone. Free. No strings attached. Oh, welcome to Drinking Bros. We got an OG on the show. We got Rocco. We got Rocco, the original Drinking Bro on the show.
Fuck yeah.
How are you, buddy? Yeah.
Good, dude. Good. It's just been a fucking roller coaster ride of fucking shit in life, you know? It's been good, though.
I can only imagine. We miss you more than life itself on the show.
Bro, it's crazy because it's funny because I shot you a text like last week. I'm like, bro, I have a day off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm like, dude, come on the show.
Yeah.
And for the audience at home, like, you didn't leave. Like, we're all still best friends and all that shit. You didn't leave because of any, you know, friendship or falling out or any of that stuff. Like, you got busy doing back-to-back TV shows. And I remember telling you, I was like, man, we will never see you again with this schedule coming up.
Dude, that was the thing, man. It's like, I spoke to Matt and fucking, I spoke to JT briefly, but then he started talking about hot dogs.
You're not going to get an honest answer out of JT or a genuine conversation about friendship.
I know. So I was talking to Matt. I'm just like, look, dude, I had to step back. I had to do my thing on my schedule because my schedule is so fucked. And I couldn't sit around fucking. I felt like I was holding everyone back. And it's not even that. It's just I wasn't doing my part to fucking to just feel part of the team. I just wasn't. I needed to focus on the kids. I needed to focus on getting them settled in. I needed to focus on these two projects that I'm working on. And then I was like, well, what else can I do? Well, I could do my own podcast. So I started doing my own podcast because I could do that on my schedule. So it's like, I even, you know, I stepped back from Article 15 as well. And all for the same reason. It's like, I told him, like, dude, I just don't have the time to commit to it. And there's nothing worse than being the guy on the team that doesn't do shit for the team. Right. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so I just felt like, dude, it's best. Like, we stay homies. Obviously we're all friends, but I got to focus on the direction that I want to go with my life. And when I was able to land these two fucking gigs, I'm like, well, fuck, dude, this is what I need to focus on now, you know? And no bad blood. Obviously, it's never fun to fucking step away from the dudes and fucking, you know, something. I still watch and listen, and I'm just like, fucking miss that shit. But at the same time, I'm kind of doing it more for the family's sake, you know, to be home when I'm not fucking filming.
Right.
Because filming so fucking often, the only time I have that's free, I try and give it to the kids. And my lady, obviously, but that's the thing. If I wasn't that, then I'd be flying from here. I'd fly to fucking San Antonio. I'd film again with Black Rifle. And then I'd fly. And I'm like, no, dude, I can't do that anymore, man.
Yeah, it all becomes so much that it's like, you know, for the audience at home, when you're doing a TV show, let alone two TV shows, you're there like 15 hours a day. You're exhausted when you get off the set. It's hard just trying to do that, let alone something else on top of that.
Yeah, and then there's no schedule, right? It's not like your 9-to-5 fucking job. It's like, hey, today you come in at 5 o'clock, you're getting off at 3 a.m. Tomorrow you flip around, you're gonna come in at 3 fucking p.m. And it's like these schedules don't make sense. It doesn't fucking matter. It's not about you. It's about how they lined up your scenes.
Right.
And I'm like, so it's like there's no way of even scheduling shit with you because I was like, oh fuck, I got a day off. Cool. And during the week, because the weekend of my day off, I'm flying home. It's just fucking nuts.
Yeah, man, it's crazy. And the ironic thing about it is you're in Salt Lake City, and now all of the guys have left Salt Lake City.
Which is you know, that's the thing. You got to do what you got to do for business, right?
Right.
And I knew that was probably going to happen because, dude, you know what's best for the fucking team as a whole. And so when that happened, I'm like, everyone's like, you're going to go to Salt Lake? I mean, you're going to go to San Antonio? Like, no, I lived there for 10 years. Coincidentally, I'm not going back, right? You know? because my fucking kids are now settled in Utah. And I'm okay with that, right? Because the best position for me to be in as a working actor in L.A. is in a position where I could do a direct flight in 2 hours.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, is your other show, I'm not going to say which network it was on, it was shooting in Salt Lake City.
Exactly.
Let's start with that. The show that you were doing, again, I'm not going to mention what network it was on, but it was about guns and gun restoration.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and just because of what you have going on in society right now and kind of the climate with guns, you got your pro guns, your not pro guns and all that stuff. It's kind of a sensitive time to release. And so we're going to hold on to the project. I'm actually going to go back and kind of rewrite a few things and try and do some reshoots. And then we'll see if we even get this thing off the ground. Right. We just don't know. Here's the show. Is it good for TV? Yes. It's fucking amazing. But is it good for TV right now with the climate we have right now? It's probably a little edgy. And what happens on shows is like, the sponsors are really the ones that pay for the set time, right?
Right.
Like, you're 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock, you'll have whatever major sponsors. But when that all happened recently with Vegas, and then you have in Florida, a lot of sponsors were like, you know what, anything that's pro-gun, we're just going to steer clear of for now. Right? Because everyone's kind of like, look, we just don't want to fucking piss off the masses. And it is what it is. That's the way TV is, the way Hollywood is. And so I understand it. Not even mad at it. I'm like, I get it. We got to play the game. But, you know, we're going to go back to drawing board a little bit and see what's up.
Here's what I find ridiculous about it is, I had the pleasure, you invited me to watch the teaser trailer, which is about 5-6 minutes of it. And to me, like... And this, again, you're in it, not me. I'm just simply an observer of this. But to me, a show about gun restoration doesn't really, I don't understand how that lines up with what's going on in America and being, you know, pro-gun or whatever. Because you guys were like working on like muskets and like crazy, like old guns and shit like that. It's not like anybody's going to come into school with a musket.
Yeah, essentially, you think of Duck Dynasty, dude. Their fucking whole show is based on fucking duck calls, and they fucking rarely talk about the duck call. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, and if someone's going around stabbing motherfuckers with duck calls, and then people are like, wait, we can't support duck calls. Like, wait, that makes no sense, because the show has really nothing to do with the fucking duck call. So that's kind of the predicament we were in. It was like, wait a minute. Like, this thing talks about my life, dude. It talks about the kids. It shows how real and how difficult it is to try and run a business and fucking start from scratch. And we were trying to do something from scratch and make it successful by using all the basic stuff that me and Matt JT pretty much just started off doing, was using social media to freaking market a company, whatever the case, right? And so, yeah, man, I mean, there's not, like, I can't say a lot right now because,
sure,
you know, we're still, there's still the opportunity to have it presented to the masses, which I'm fucking pumped. There's still that chance. And once I'm done here in L.A., I fly back to Salt Lake and jump right back into there.
Oh, boy.
And, I mean, I'm having meetings. Next week, I have a meeting with an exec, and it's just like, you got to trust the direction we want to go with this and fucking give me a chance, motherfuckers, right? Like, that's how I see it. Like,
yeah.
Give me a fucking chance, dude. And you're going to see, you know, 50, 60, 70-year-old women. You're going to see freaking 15, 16, 17-year-old kids. I'm going to be like, this is a fun show. I'm like, yeah, it is, dude. It is. So,
yeah,
you know.
I've seen it, and it's like, man, I know that show would blow up if they just put it on the fucking air. Everything right now is so, everybody's so hypersensitive to every single little last thing, and that's what you were talking about, the advertising. That's all television is, essentially, is the TV shows that you watch that are your favorite shows, like Breaking Bad or The Mayans or Sons of Anarchy, shit like that. It is simply to serve the advertisers. If you don't get good ratings, then you're not going to have a television show. If an advertiser gets spooked by the content of your show, they're going to have trouble financing that show. So that's kind of how the gig works. I just I wish it wasn't like that.
It's the thing. You got to play the game, man. You have to. So, for a little while at least, until you become something crazy and you do whatever the fuck you want. Because you know the dude from Duck Dynasty now has his own freaking show on Facebook, right? Because Facebook's doing shows now.
Yep. Yeah.
Have you seen it yet?
I've seen that show. I've seen the other one. Did you watch the Ball Brothers one on Facebook?
Yeah.
Yeah. Facebook's trying to become their own Netflix, so you're going to be seeing a lot more shows come out on Facebook. They hired the executive team of the former execs of MTV to go and run their content team. So, like, you know, I could see that show easily shifting over to Facebook if need be. Your show.
Well, that's my cooking show, dude. My cooking show was that, dude. So Facebook essentially paid me to return that rock recipes with Rocco, the YouTube one that was with Rated Red, into an actual TV show of their own. So they own that. People are like, dude, you should cook with it. I'm like, dude, I have no fucking choice, bro. I'm going in to cook meals that I know how to cook or someone, you know, but Facebook owned that. They fucking, that's their baby. They wanted me to try. I guess they wanted to see a tattooed fucking cook on there. But my cooking show was one of the first kind of concepts of that.
Really?
Yeah.
I had no idea. I just thought, because you've been doing so many cool projects. I saw you do the food one. I also saw you do the shaving one, which I'm a big fan of.
Yeah, dude. So that one, well, I own beard.com. And so, you know, you can do all the basic skits and funny shit and all that stuff. But for me, there's a root of the men grooming that's pretty important that I think some of the barbershops miss, like supercuts and those, they kind of sports cuts, whatever. They kind of miss the original, I guess, the way I grew up, the way some of our grandfathers grew up, in that straight razor, that fucking, you sit there and bullshit with the boys. It's like the place where you can go. And so that kind of feel is what I wanted to create on The Man Behind the Cut, you know, and it's really a cool spot to interview someone.
It's great.
We ran into some issues, but at the same time, I plan on filming another one here soon. But yeah.
What were the issues you ran into? Any copyright issues or?
No, not at all. You know, okay. Just fucking clippers, bro. When you're cutting with clippers, it's hard to interview with audio. So we're like, well, I understand why people probably never done this shit before because it's fucking sucked on audio.
Yeah, it's true. It's terrible. That and shooting on the beach is the worst. Like, that'll crush your audio.
So we're working on trying to clean that up a little bit. But dude, I have some ideas with some really great people in the chair. Obviously, we have a lot of MMA friends. I'm trying to have someone in MMA come by. I want to have some, you know, some professional athletes, some more veterans. And so, you know, it's just, those are processes. When I get done with this show, I can jump on, at least film one more of those and continue on with the episodes of that.
Yeah, because they're shot really well. They're edited really well. I mean, there's professional slick pieces that remind me of the short films that HBO used to do. And I'm a huge fan. I love the guys over at beard.com. Luke Webster, you and I have a mutual friend. He also owns straightrazors.com, which is a sponsor in Ross Patterson Revolution. I love all of those products. And he just recently sent me one, that El Vato, that pomade.
Yeah, El Vato.
Dude, I've been crushing that El Vato. And I saw that one on yours. That's part of beard.com, isn't it?
It is. It's part of beard.com. So we came up with that shit about almost 2 years now. We came up with that and fucking didn't know how to bring it out. The goal for that one was, you know, for me, it's like in business, it's fun to kind of challenge other businesses in a sense. And you got Suavecito, which is killing the market in fucking pomades. It's one of the top selling pomades on Amazon and just throughout. And so there was not another kind of Latino focused fucking, or like, you know, labeled or branded fucking pomade. We're like, fuck it, El Vato's dope. You know what I mean? So here coming soon, we're going to try and just take them off the freaking top of Amazon by just freaking just outselling them. We're just having fun with it, really. But it is a good brand, it is a good quality product. It's water-based. So everyone's like, dude, this thing's so good. Like, it is, dude. You know, we took the time to make something that we believed was going to be great, not just shit in a can. And so, yeah, you got El Vato, man. A lot of the guys on the Mayans MC wear it, too.
I love it, man. I rolled out with it last night. I'm a big fan of all of their products, by the way. I just think they fucking, you guys just do it right. Like all of the colognes and aftershaves and all that shit. Like, you know, sometimes you have friends branch out in other companies and you're like, yo, man, what the fuck is that? Like, you know, it's usually a piece of shit or the quality isn't great. All of those products over there at beard.com and straightrazors.com are fantastic. So I think you got in, I think you got in with great people over there. Like that was,
yeah, dude.
And then again, those shave videos, the content videos are fucking awesome. I'm a huge.
Well, dude, we're opening up a national. Our first barbershop is going to be in downtown Salt Lake.
Really?
And so it's called Throwbacks Barbershop. That'll be open hopefully June. We'll have it up and running in June. We have everything getting built right now, and we're actually sharing the same space with Will and Salt Lake, the tattoo artist.
Oh, dude, Black Salt. So I've gotten shit there from him. That's awesome. His spot is great, man. Black Salt's great.
Super dope. So what it is we kind of just partnered up. He has the back half, I have the front half, and we're all in the same building, and it's just kind of like an easier.
Yo,
spot,
that place is dope, dude.
Yeah, so we're excited about that opening. Hopefully June, July, man, we're ready to go get up and going.
That's awesome, man, because Will does great work. That space is great. The parking's easy and all that shit. I'm that man, I didn't know you were doing that.
Yeah, dude, yeah. for sure.
That's awesome.
It's been fun, man.
How's the Mayans going? How's the Mayans MC? Because everybody follows you. You finally crossed 100,000 on Instagram.
Yeah, I know.
I feel like I was rooting for you, like Corky and standing behind the fire. I was like, come on, dude, just get him over 100. Just get him over.
Yeah, dude, it's cool.
Yeah. I see a lot of pictures from set. How's the show going?
It's good, man. I mean, it's just, you know, it's crazy. It's crazy to be here and learning on the fly, essentially. You know what I mean? There's a lot about film I didn't understand. There's a lot about acting I didn't understand. I naturally was really comfortable with being in front of the camera, same from all the YouTube stuff and everything. But there's stuff I didn't understand about, like, finding the camera, or the camera's trying to find you, and positioning when speaking. And then when they change the angles, each position has to change again. And so it's like all these things that I'm like, what the fuck, dude? Like, I'm drinking from a fire hydrant, bro, and I'm just trying to fucking stay afloat, you know?
Yeah, because it's a lot, and people at home see it, and they're like, ah, I could be an actor. And then you get there, and it's just like, yeah, there's a lot more to it. It's very very technical.
It's an art form, dude. And if you don't respect it as such, then you're just going to get left behind.
Yeah, I mean, they'll cut you out of it real quick. Because the more and more you know your angles, know how to cheat your position in these angles, the more you're going to end up in the shows. And a lot of people don't know that. Where it's like what you just said, finding the camera. You know, if you're able to do that as an actor and find the camera, you're going to have a lot more screen time. Because sometimes, look, if you're not the lead of the show and you're not the guy in every single scene, you've got to find a way to make yourself interesting on camera, standing behind somebody, standing next to somebody, so that you end up in the cuts. Your character stays on longer, and people want to bring you back. I thought you did an excellent job on that on Range 15.
Yeah. No, I appreciate it. I feel it here and there, you know what I mean? And I know even when it's not my scene, I know I still have to do the facial expression acting, if you will.
Yes.
And so, you know, and I know that ended up relating to Range 15 quite a bit for me, because there's a lot of scenes where I'm making the weird face in the background, or I'm like shocked, whatever the case, but it kind of helped, one, the scene, but two, it showed that I'm still part of the scene. It was a weird thing.
Yeah, and because, you know, if you're able to do that, what it does is it essentially takes the editor's power away from cutting you out. Because if, you know, let's say you have four people in a scene and four people in the same shot, and one of them is doing something fucking dumb, then that you're going to lose that shot and you're going to go to the other actor. If everybody's doing something interesting on camera, then you're going to have a better cutaways and you're going to have more seconds and time on screen. In Range 15, it was very similar, where I think you always had like four or five actors in every fucking shot you were in. And somehow you always found a way to make it interesting and natural with your facial expressions. I'm sure that carried over to this, because I would imagine, I haven't seen any footage from the Mayans and they're keeping that under lock and key. But I would imagine it's probably the same. If you're in a gang like that, you're probably with four or five fucking dudes in every scene, right?
Dude, I'll tell you what, it does seem very similar to the way we filmed Range 15 on. You're like, there's so many fucking bodies.
Yeah.
Because I've heard the same line from them as the ones from you. Like, God, Rocco, your back is so fucking wide, you take up the whole shot. I'm like, yep, my bad, I've heard that before.
At least all of that carried over, you know?
Yeah, I know. This is funny. What's funny, dude, like the other day they're explaining to me about what we're going to do on one of the scenes. And the guy's like, all right, so check it out. So on the day, you're going to do this. And I'm like, well, the day's today.
Yeah.
He goes, but on the day, make sure you do this. I'm like, but like, we're talking about today, right? And he looks at me like, what the fuck? And I realize now what the fuck that means.
Yeah, on the day means on camera in the next shot.
So I'm sitting there like, wait, you're talking about today? Are we filming this today? He goes, yeah, on the day. I'm like, fuck, I'm lost, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, it's learning that little inside lingo and jargon, like, finding the camera was another one where it's like, motherfucker, I see the camera. I don't need to find it. And it's like, no. Just make sure your face is lit and it's nicely, you know, you're it's in camera and people can see you. You're not blocked by other people's faces. And you're like, oh, okay. I remember on my first movie, somebody told me, hey, man, so I get a 10-100 and I'll be right back. And I was like, oh, that must be one of the lenses they're going to change. It's a 10-100. I was like, yes, 10-100 for all of this, probably, right? And they were like, no, man, 10-100 is a code for I'm going to take a piss. Like, and I was like, oh shit. Well, we're definitely not pissing all over the camera. So sorry about that. we have these weird sayings where you're just like, dude, why can't you just say I'm going to take a piss? I'll be right back.
You could just imagine, bro. Like, you could just imagine. I'm like, here's the thing, dude. It's like, one of the guys like, bro, don't sell yourself short. I was like, fuck no, I don't. Like, I know I have lack of experience on camera, so I'm trying to fucking learn it all. And I'm not afraid to tell them that either. Like, look, I'm learning. I am new at this shit.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, no. But I fucking deserve to be here, motherfucker. Trust me. You know what I mean?
And yeah.
That's what I'm trying to convey. Like, don't think I don't deserve this, motherfucker. Trust me. I deserve it. I just fucking am still new, so I'm learning all the dumb little shit that I don't fucking know, right? That these guys for years, these guys have been acting here fucking 20 years already, bro.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they know shit that I don't get, but I'm learning it. But, you know, I even tell them, like, look, I'm new, man. I'm still learning. They're like, oh, dude, don't sell yourself. I was like, I'm not, motherfucker. I know I need to be here. I know I'm good. And I believe in it, right? I believe in this fucking storyline. I just fit. You know what I mean? And so it's just like, this is really... I guess this being in the position I'm in here, being an MC is being in a fucking platoon, right? Like, you're part of a gang, dude.
Right.
You're part of a little mob that's going to go down and kick down every fucking door in the goddamn village and fuck everyone up. And it's the same as a fucking MC. You're just part of a little mob, dude. And it's like, do I know how to play this role? Fuck yeah. And I know how to play the part of the role because I've always been that motherfucker, dude. So, like, all I got to do is transition all that shit fucking to film and you know what I mean? In front of the camera or in front of the lens. And I feel good about that, you know? So that's pretty much all I'm trying to do, you know?
Yeah. And I can tell you this, like, you know, I gave you some advice on Range 15 and I'll give you some advice on this. There is no better crash course in acting than a 1 hour drama on television. Cause you get to really, really see so much more than you would working on a movie. Cause you know, when you work on a 1 hour drama, it's 1 hour in 1 week. Now Range 15 was a 90 minute film. That was 15 days. Well, and a 1 hour drama, you're shooting that what, you know, 6-7 days. Therefore you get to see more behind the scenes, see more actors. You know, if you go to set, and I'm sure you like to go to set and see some of the scenes and all that stuff. And you just get more experience because you're going to be doing it for much, much longer. Whereas Range 15, you know, you're out of there in 15 days, 16 days, boom, movie's over, take care. With this, you're going to be there for months. And that learning process is going to be invaluable. So if you take that back to a you know, whatever movie you do after this, holy shit, doing a movie after this will seem like a goddamn piece of cake compared to a 1 hour TV show.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm trying to do. You know what I mean? I'm learning every day. You know, I've got like four guys that are my mentors, dude, that I just kind of, you know, I just talk to them about shit and fucking go over stuff. But these dudes, you know, everyone has a different process of what gets them ready for whatever scene, dude. And I'm just kind of picking apart from each of these guys and see what works for me.
Yeah, it's weird, right? When you look at, because every single actor is different. So some people don't want to talk to you before a scene. Some people are listening to music. Some people are in their trailer. You're like me. You're a pretty happy-go-lucky guy. How do you deal with everybody else's process?
Well, dude, one thing is I'm just courteous to all their fucking process. I can see when their demeanor changes, right? And I'm like, okay, cool. He's ready for his scene. I'll leave him alone. One dude has his music on. I'm like, all right, I'm not going to talk to him. For the most part, everyone kind of jokes around and fucks around the whole time. Until you have a scene, you'll see everyone kind of shut off.
Right.
And I'm like, all right, cool. I'll be in my fucking zone and I'll fucking listen to music and bullshit. You know, I know when I have, if I'm going to have a very fucking dramatic scene, I'm probably going to do the same. You know what I mean? I'm probably going to be like, all right, dude, let me stay in my zone. Don't fucking play, you know, everyone's playing grab ass all the fucking time because a bunch of dudes fucking, you know, it's the same as fucking being in the room with Matt, JT, and fucking you. You know what I mean? It's the same. But, like, when you know you have a serious scene, everyone kind of turns it on, which you see the professionalism, you know what I mean?
Sure.
So when I have that opportunity to present some real dramatic shit on film, I'm going to do I'm going to try and do it justice, right? And with saying that, I'm probably going to fucking step away for a minute, fucking pull out some fucking demons and fucking get it done, you know?
Right, right. Let me ask you this. Do you guys all get along? Because that's another key to doing a one-hour show, is that you get along. Because if it does well, you're going to be spending a lot of time with these motherfuckers.
Well, that's the thing. Dude, we've been doing this now for, what, a year and a half? Fuck, dude. I'm super close with a lot of these dudes, man. Actually, tomorrow is a day off, another day off, and I'm going to go do boxing with a couple of dudes. You know what I'm saying? So
that's great.
So, yeah, dude. We became really close, and you know, it's funny. I don't have a lot of experience in this. I thought that's normal, and they were all telling me the same, like, fuck no, bro. This is very different. Everyone's just proud to be here. Everyone's excited to be here. A lot of the people are very inexperienced compared to some, like, two guys that are really just crazy experienced. And so they're like, everyone's really close. And he goes, even the crew sees it. Like, you guys have gotten close in such a short time. You know, and I'm like, fuck, I thought that was normal. Like, fuck, no. Man, sometimes there's some shitty fucking things.
Yeah, we had an actor on a few weeks back, and there was a heavy, well, it's still going on in the press, a heavy publicized incident where the two leads of a one-hour drama do not get along, and they actually hate each other. And what that does to a work environment fucking sucks, man. It makes everything super uncomfortable, and it's like, if there's problems between actors that you're with every single day, 15 hours a day, it's going to bleed through to the show, and it's nice to hear that you don't have that problem.
Yeah, dude. No, right now, like, as of now, shit, we're good, and I hope it stays that way. You know what I mean?
When are you guys slated to air? I think I read, what, late summer? Is that still hold true?
Dude, I have no idea. You know, I've heard four different fucking things, and so I have no idea. I don't even think I could even say if I even had a guess, dude.
I think I read it was either July or August. Like, I read it was getting cranked up pretty soon. I like
we're
how
filming
you
every fucking day.
I know. I like how you don't know, and because I was home, I was writing that day, and I had the TCAs on in the background, and I heard the president announce that you guys got picked up, and I called you, and I was like, "Hey, man, congratulations!" And you're like, "Yo, I have no idea. I'm fucking shooting,
I don't know, bro. They don't tell me shit. I'm just sitting here reading my line.
And here's the thing: is they really don't, man. Like, you'll probably find out all of the news about your show through social media faster than the network will tell you. Dead
yeah,
serious.
That's what I'm finding out.
Yeah, it's crazy. They don't tell you anything where you're just like, huh? All right, great. Yeah. Every single, you know, studio film and all that shit that I've done, I've found out online faster than like anybody from the studios ever told me, where I'm like, all right, great. I guess that's the day that's happening. Let's do it. How are your wife and kids?
Good, man. I fly home, you know, I'm flying home this weekend. Every 3-day weekend, I can kind of come across, I'm flying home. You know, they're all playing fucking sports. They're all going crazy. She's holding down the fort, man. It's a good, you know, she's been a strong foundation for me to come over here and keep my mind right. And she keeps everything grounded at home, and it makes things a little easier. As much as how hard it is, it makes it easier. Once the summer comes around, they're all going to come to LA. So they'll be here in LA for a couple months with me during the summer. So I'll always see them every night.
That's awesome.
In their bed while they're sleeping. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But no, it's good. We're working through it, dude. I mean, this is an experience for all of us. Like, the kids don't understand some, you know, the younger ones.
Right.
My older one's excited because she thinks, oh, dad's going to be famous, right? And then my wife is just, you know, my wife's just like, I don't know if I want to do this all the time. I'm like, yeah, I don't know either. Like, we don't know what this is. This is the first time we're on a fucking show. Like, we have no idea what's going to happen, right? And then you kind of see if this is the lifestyle that you want. If it is, maybe you move to LA. You know, maybe you don't. Who knows? Like, my dad even talks about, like, dude, do we want to go half on a house? Because he's working on another show here in LA again. And so it's like, man, as much as I thought I was settled in Utah, you know, and if work's going to provide, you know, the financial means and, you know, it could be very lucrative for the family and comfortable for the family. And, you know, you just start questioning, what's the direction we're going to go with life now? You know, and I don't know. I can't even tell you. You know, we're just trying to, as long as we're together, man, you know what I'm saying? As long as we're raising that family, you know, we're going to get through this, dude. It's just super weird to be in this position. And it's a blessing, though, right? Like,
yeah.
I say weird. It's like, I can sit back and look at my life like, okay, this is not normal. Like, I don't, you know, probably a small handful of people will ever have to go from not being fucking on a TV show to all of a sudden being on a TV show, you know, and not really believe, like, I wasn't like a lot of the guys who were going for this role. They were already doing acting and acting and acting and acting. They're jumping job to job to job. I did Range 15. I filmed some Dads in the Park. And then, boom, I'm on a fucking show. You know what I mean?
Right.
So we're like, wait, this is happening a little too fast.
Yeah, but it's, look, it's exciting. The only other thing that I can tell you is the hard part about being on a Kurt Sutter show is you don't know when you're going to get killed. So if you moved your entire family out there, you could get the next script the following week and be like, hey, Rocco, sorry about that. We had to kill you and rape you in the scene, and we're all done.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
That's the fear, bro. That's the fear. It's like, trust me, I want all 7, 8, 9, 10 seasons, right?
But, yeah.
But you don't know, right? Kurt Sutter wrote himself to get raped, right? And if he did that, no one's safe, you know? And so when things like that, when he did that on Sons of Anarchy, and I was like, oh my God, he wrote this? He wrote himself to get raped in prison? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
That means that I'm not safe from anything, bro.
No.
You know what I mean? So it's like, so you sit here thinking, okay, you do your part as an actor, and you respect this craft so much, and you put in the work. You can be the best one on film, and eventually, it just might be your time because of the way the story pans out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And so then what? Do I move back to Utah, or do I try and to now live this actor's life, going from job to job to job? Right? Like, I don't know, man. I don't know if I fucking want to live like that. Right? I personally, I would love to be in a position where Let's Finish Whiskey kicks ass, Beard Dog Gets Calm kicked ass, right? And I'm able to fucking pick and choose. No, I want that one, or no, I want that one, you know?
Right.
But again, it's too soon to tell, bro. Like, right now, I'm just hoping this ride doesn't end, you know?
Yeah, I know. And that is the true actor's life is what that is, where you're just like, all right, sweet. But if this goes, what's the next thing that's going to happen? What do I do now? Because I'm not really sure. What I will say this about you is you're such an unbelievably hard worker that I have no doubt whether or not you get killed off the show or whatever, you'll have like 9 more things in the hopper, and nothing's going to slow you down. So it just depends on,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. It just depends on whether or not you want to, where you want to live, to be honest with you.
That's how I see it too. Like, I mean, after this fucking, I'm going to go to the gym, and then I have a meeting with a producer, because I'm always trying to work on the next project, right? You're the one who told me that.
Yes.
You said, you're only as good as your next project. And I'm like, motherfucker, he's right.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm glad I'm working on this show. Trust me, I hope it never ends, but I'm still, you only film, what, 5 months out of the year? Then what?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? I got more time to do something else. So I'm always trying to fill those times with something. You know what I mean? Like, look, dude, you already know entertainment. It's so weird. I filmed Dad in the Park 2 years ago, and this weekend it was playing before fucking the Infinity Wars. I had probably over 200 messages like, bro, I saw you on the big screen. Congratulations. I'm like, dog, we filmed that 2 years ago. I had no idea it was even. And now people are seeing this stuff. Fucking crazy, dude.
Yeah, and that's how the entertainment industry works, where like, you take Matt's book, right? We signed that deal the day after Trump got elected for Penguin. The book was done. We had turned it in June 1st to the publisher of last year. Yeah, it's still the Department of Defense. It still has not been cleared. That is the only hurdle left. It's down to one person to clear this book. When I finished, I took a week off, cause that was a really, really big job, and it was hard. And we had to go through the CIA and all that shit. And I looked at my wife, and she was like, well, you're going to just take it easy, right? And I was like, no, I still owe the sequel for A Night She Cries While He Rides His Steed. I was like, I think I'm going to write that now. And she was like, why would you do that? She's like, you know, Matt, you got Matt's book coming out, and the movie Drinking Bros Live movie and all that stuff that you're directing. And I'm like, no, I think I'm going to write it now just in case. Sure enough, the fucking sequel is coming out August 14th. Matt's book, we have no date on that at all. And that was done a year before this fucking thing was.
Dude, it's so weird.
That's the entertainment industry in a nutshell. And if you don't keep staying one step ahead with another project, then you're going to end up, you know, you're going to wake up one morning and have no projects, and you're going to be like, oh, what the fuck do I do?
Exactly. That's what. So you have to.
Yes.
You have to keep fucking grinding, bro. And that's okay with me, because that's kind of how my brain works. It's like, if I'm not working on something, I'm going crazy anyway. So I'm like, I'll find something to do. But yeah. You know? So you gotta do it.
Yeah, I'm the same for sure. How did that Dads and Parks thing come about? With again, it's in front of the Avengers movie, which is, I don't know if you know this, just broke the biggest box office opening weekend record of all time.
Dude, crazy. And I knew something, dude, because I swear to you, I've never got that many messages on Instagram, Facebook, text messages. Like, my cousins, my nephews, my fucking aunts, everybody and their motherfucking mom would go watch this motherfucker, and they all saw me.
Yep.
And they're like, oh my God, I couldn't believe it was you. I'm like, yeah, I filmed that 2 fucking years ago. Look how fat I was, dude. Well, bro, so that whole thing started because I filmed, remember I did the Long Way Back, the short, it's like a, I don't know, like a spoken word short.
Yeah, which was great, by the way. It was in a couple festivals.
Yeah, exactly. So I went to the GI Festival in New York or somewhere out there in New York. And when they did that, the host was Jeremy Keller. And he was fucking funny, and he's talking about, you know, he's being in the Navy and this and that, and he's just a fucking cool dude. So me and JT went on bullshit with him. We got his number. He looked us up, looked at all the fucking videos, like, dude, I want to work with you motherfuckers, right? We're like, hell yeah, dude. So we ended up going to L.A. to film for something. It was something either with Ranger's team, not with Ranger. I'm not even sure why we went to L.A. We went to L.A. for another event. And he said, hey, can you guys come film Dads in Park maybe? And then, dude, I was like asleep. And JT's like, hey, dude, you want to film with? I'm like, yeah, where is it? He goes, at this park. I was like, yeah, dude, I'll head over there in a little bit. I got dressed, and I'm wearing baseballism gear, dog, right? Because I didn't think about it, right? I'm just like, well, which, again, I love those things, so I don't give a fuck.
But sure.
If I would have thought about it, it would have been an Article 15 shirt.
Or Lead Slingers, yeah.
Right, exactly. A Lead Slingers risky shirt or something, dude. I'm just wearing baseball shit because I love baseball shit, dude. So I fucking go there, and dude, the first thing he goes, you're just a scary guy, and sit down, and it's kind of like an improv. And so I sit down, and he's like, looks like he's scared. I'm like, I'm not going to kill you. All that shit's like improv, dog. And so we played it off, and it went well, and he goes, fuck, man, you're an asshole, dude. I was like, oh, fuck, I don't know, dude. You're like, whatever. Like, improv, for some reason, is very similar to what we do with Matt and JT on our videos. You just kind of fucking wing it and see what's funny.
Right.
And so we filmed another one about my kids, you know, I don't let them win, blah, blah, blah. And dude, we filmed those, and fucking, those are done. They went up. They did whatever. They go away. Then we filmed another cycle. So I've filmed Dead in Park probably 4 times now. I'm going to film some while I'm out here as well. And then all of a sudden, the fucking movie theater's like, hey, we need some big previews before the previews. And Jamie is a buddy of one of the guys. He goes, well, dude, you can use Dads and Parks. You know, we'll find whatever clips you guys want to use. And so we made some specific for them. I've already had them up there in the movie theaters once or twice here and there. And then he just sent them the old ones. Like, here's some old ones if you guys want to use them. All of a sudden, out of fucking nowhere, he goes, dude, they're going to use ours one of these X coming weekends. And it just fucking, by chance, happened on the weekend of fucking Infinity Wars, bro.
Oh, my God. The biggest movie opening of all time, and they chose that one. That's unbelievable.
Bro, it's unbelievable. And check this out. The owners of fucking, so my buddy is one of the owners, and then his friends, you know, they're owners. So there's like several owners. They're at the movie theaters, and they see it. They're like, who the fuck is this dude? And then he's telling them, that's my boy. I've been sending him gear. You know, I'm like, fuck yeah, dude. There's this cool thing, like, I hit him up like, hey, bro, I'm going to get a couple hats and this and that. He goes, yeah, dude. So, you know, they always support. They support. But, you know, baseballism's cool people. I buy all their shit all the time because I'm just a fan. And they were just tripped out that I fucking had it on during that. And it was just by chance, bro.
Yeah, I got into baseballism because of you. And obviously, both of us are diehard sports fans in real life. And, I've been watching their company slowly grow and grow and grow and grow to be in theaters, because those guys are very generous and they've given us hats and stuff over the years. And they had to have lost their shit when they saw that in theaters.
Bro, they went nuts. They said they sent an email across the whole company. You know what I mean? And yeah, their company's growing, dude. They're sitting in a sports store right down the street from my house in Utah. I'm just like, holy shit, they're growing, bro.
They opened one up in Atlanta, in my hometown. And those fucking guys are blowing up, man.
That's freaking awesome.
Yeah. So what else, what would you like to do in the near future?
When it comes to film, you know, I want to see where my character goes with this, but like, I like to be tested. I've been a physical dude my whole life. This is more of a mental, emotional thing that's really hard to do, but I think it's a good challenge. It's a fun challenge for me. It's something different. And so I'm excited to see what this happens, but I'm learning as much as I can because I would love to write and direct my own film. I really would.
Really?
You know, I've been,
would you like to do? A drama or a comedy?
Well, I kind of wrote this drama / comedy. You know what I mean?
A dramedy.
I kind of wrote this. Yeah, it's a dramedy.
Yeah, it's a dramedy.
It's just telling the stories, dude. I want to find a cool story and tell the story real well through film. I really think that's probably the future of what I want to do. Be able to pick and choose my battles, write a script I really like, or find a script I really like and try and produce it and freaking direct it and just get it done, man. I think that's where, as much as I love being in front of the camera, or I'm not afraid of it, I think it would be fun to control the whole space and develop a really cool show or movie.
Yeah, it is. When you're in control of your own project, it's a blast. It's more work, but it's worth it in the end when you get the power of the edit and the cut and all that stuff. You don't have to worry if you're going to die in it, things like that. Yeah.
I've been in like this leadership role my whole life, and I think it's just, it only makes sense if I'm going to stay in film to be in the leadership role as well, and that'd be directing and film, you know, and running your whole thing, just kind of like what you've done.
Yeah, it's and again, that comes with its own set of headaches, but I would say it's definitely worth it in the end, because again, you can control your own destiny. The lawsuits and all that other shit are another story, but you know. Yeah, you get used to that over the years, where you're just like, all right, cool. Who's trying to extort me for money? All right, great. We'll go for this. But I do enjoy it, and I see you continuing after this. You're one of those people to me that just needs one thing out in the mainstream, and I think you'll take off from there. And I hope the Mayans is the one that does that for you.
Yeah, man. I you know, it's funny. I try and network with the right people because I feel the same. I really want that one opportunity that's gonna put me in the limelight where someone says, holy shit, who's this and what's he do? And then I really want them to dig, pull back the layers and say, holy shit, like this dude is like super real and he's trying to do things for the veteran community in a different light, right? He's trying to bring attention to the veteran community. He's trying to motivate, inspire veterans to break down those barriers of thinking there isn't life after military. I would love to see more veterans in entertainment. I would love to see more veterans, like combat veterans from OAF, OEF of our era, trying it, going out there and doing it. You know what I mean? You know, I just would love to see that, dude. I think there's no reason why we can't. I think veterans kind of run the gambit of emotions, and I think acting essentially is just displaying emotion through film. Hopefully, you know, maybe the Mayans MC will be that segue that helps veterans see, like, dude, I'm just a normal motherfucker, dude. I'm just willingness to get up there and fucking fail, you know, and that's pretty much what I'm doing. He's doing the best to put it all out there, but I fail. I fail on the daily. They say, cut, nope, that was terrible. Do it again. You know, like, oh, okay, not bad. So, you know, and it would just, I would just love to be that. I would love to be just maybe the Kickstarter of a movement of veterans, not just in entertainment, but anything, right? Like seeing like, fuck, dude, we can do anything we put our minds to, like anyone can, right? But for some reason, I feel like my community of veterans has tend to put some barriers up for themselves, you know what I mean? And I would hope that can change. Seeing guys like, man, there's several, you know, actors like Jeff Bosley out there. He's a special forces actor who's doing the same as me, just trying to get that one role that's going to solidify them in entertainment. You know, there's several guys like that. You know, Nate Boyer's out there doing it. He's doing the same thing as me. We're just a the small handful of us that are out here grinding it out, trying to get this, the notoriety behind our acting and prove that we belong here. And so hoping in doing that and in doing this show, just because I'm an actor here doesn't mean I'm going to be great. I'm just hoping that I am. I'm hoping that I relate on film. I hope the person who's watching, the viewer, says, holy shit, that guy really, I feel what he feels. You know what I mean? And that's what I want to do. I don't want to just be a guy on film. I want to be a great actor. And so, like in a lot of things in life, what I do is I try and go all in. And right now in acting, that's what I'm doing, is I'm all in. So,
yeah. And for the audience, because we use this narrative a lot when we were, you know, shooting Range 15 and then did the documentary for Range 15. Explain to the audience, there really isn't a lot of veterans working in Hollywood for some reason.
Say that one more time.
There really isn't a lot of veterans working in Hollywood for some reason. Like you're on a set with probably what, between cast and crew, 100 people every day.
Yeah. And I think there's 3 veterans.
Yeah. Yeah. Like it's fucking crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. And well, the thing is there's 3 veterans, but like at the same time, like one guy's a grip, one guy's transport, you know what I mean? And
right.
He's like, holy shit, it's Rocco. I'm like, what's up, dude? You know, like there's definitely a field here, right? There's definitely a work environment that we can do.
There's a ton of work that veterans could do. And not only that, like, dude, after working on Range 15, I would prefer to hire veterans because I know they're going to be on time. I know they're going to be hardworking. I know there's not going to be any fucking attitude. Because, you know, you don't have to say who it is, but obviously, but on all these things, you work with some crew members and you're like, man, why are you such a fucking dick every day?
I think that's everywhere, right? Like,
it is.
Society, you find people that complain about everything. You're like, what are you doing, bro? Like, just be blessed that I got a catering guy making me a breakfast burrito in the morning. That's fucking beautiful. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck, man.
Yeah. So I personally, I'd like to see more veterans in the Hollywood community. I think you can make that happen. And look, since I have you here and I've missed my sports buddy on the show, I want to ask you, about the fight game that's going on. There's a couple potential matchups that are coming up. I'd like to hear your thoughts on them. First of all, dude, your boy Canelo. You were always a big Canelo fan, and he just got popped and suspended for 6 months for some.
Yeah.
Explain
Mexican steak.
Yeah, is that real or is that bullshit? I've always wanted to ask you because you'll know more than anyone whether or not it's the meat or if that's an actual steroid he's taking.
No, it's a steroid, dude. It's funny because like
I fucking knew it.
There's a lot of fucking fighters who have pissed hot, who have failed the drug test and blamed it on, oh, it was because of this. Oh, it was because of this. In reality, what it is they have a strength conditioning coach, and for them to kind of not have the liability of that, the strength conditioning coach gives them whatever the fuck they want. They take it, don't ask questions. They get in better shape. Hey, win-win for everyone, right?
Right.
And the deal is when guys are fucking supplementing before the fight, it's never good to be on it during the fight. They do it off season to get bigger, stronger, and then they fucking come off of it. When they go to the fight, they're nice and loose and they're ready to go. So they built their muscle in the off season. The thing with fighting and MMA now, they do these multiple different tests throughout it. So you almost can't kind of go around it, but you still can, right? They still do. And, you know, he got caught with his pants down, dude. And they had to think of a PR move that was going to protect him. And fucking, they said the Mexican steaks. And it's like, all right, that's fucking weird, but okay.
I've heard that excuse from like, you know, a bunch of Mexican fighters have been popped for the same, it's called what, glenbuterol? Is that what it is?
Clenbuterol.
Yeah. Yeah. They've all been popped.
Like in the sports world, they call it clen. But
yeah, these Mexican fighters have been popped for this, and they're getting suspended, and they're like, oh no, it's the cow, it's the meat, the meat's contaminated, and I'm like, motherfucker, no, like you're training in America, why are you eating Mexican meat in the first place?
Because they're treating the fucking cow with fucking mad hormones that'll fucking spill over into them. They're just doing all. It's like, oh, that's not my fault. The cow's fucking taking steroids. That guy's fucking. The cow's buddy is fucking shooting him in the ass, and now I'm eating a pig. That ain't my fault. Like, fuck you, dude. Whoever's breeding that cow for you to specifically eat is fucking making that motherfucker hormone charge to your ass.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
now, and you know what? In that matchup, I'm a fucking Triple G fan in that matchup.
Same. I thought he won that last fight easily. I don't know how they called that a draw. I think I feel the same. The fix was in on that bullshit to me.
Yeah, this is when I fucking hate boxing, and I love boxing with a fucking passion. But that is when I want to go in there and dropkick every motherfucker in that damn ring because it's bullshit. You got fucking Oscar De La Hoya, who is fucking. He is like a strange cookie, dude. Just straight up.
Oh, yeah. Weird. You saw the photos of him dressed up in the ladies' fishnets and all that shit with makeup on, right?
Yeah, and some shit just went down recently again. Another weird fucking thing. It was something strange. Like, you can't quote me on this. You got to look it up. But I believe some fucking, he was in a room with prostitutes and he was shoving weird things in his own ass.
Oh, yeah. And I heard, he blamed it on going off the wagon or, you know, slipping on drugs or whatever. It's like, look, man,
I don't know.
Drugs does not make you want to fuck your own ass. You know what I'm saying?
That's like, I don't do drugs, but I mean, I didn't know there was a drug that makes you want to do that. That's weird. I got to stay away from that one for sure.
Look, I have done drugs, and I can tell you this: there is not a drug that's like, meh. I think I want to jam a fucking vacuum cleaner in my ass, like just the back handle of a vacuum cleaner in there.
I think this is going to feel a lot better. This high is going to feel so much better if I start shoving things up my butt.
Yeah, that drug does not exist. All right, so
real quick, Oscar De La Hoya is a shady promoter.
Yep.
Not shady, but he obviously wants to make money. When the whole McGregor Mayweather thing went down, he was talking shit because he wanted Canelo to get that fight because he knows how much money that was going to be. And so he started talking all the smack. It was actually within a week or a month of each other, and then a tie or a draw.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, we all know what that means, more money, which is fucking shit for the boxing community. I just don't agree with it. I think 90% of fans don't agree with it. So,
yeah, I don't agree with it. You know, he was talking a lot of shit about McGregor and Mayweather because let's face it, he wanted that money because it essentially nuked half that box office for Triple G Canelo. Then the outcome of Triple G Canelo did them no favors whatsoever. I think that was rigged for a rematch so they could make even more money. And then, you know, you got the problem with Canelo getting popped for steroids is, you know, that fight is now moved to September at the earliest. So the earliest they can do that rematch is September. I think it'll probably go down just because of how much money it is. I hope Triple G pummels him, cleans out Canelo, and cleans out De La Hoya. But De La Hoya also said he wanted to fight McGregor after that. And it was like, hey, you were the one who was against this shit to begin with. Now you want to fight McGregor? Like,
I know. And that's the thing is, like, you know, in that fight, we'll never now have an asterisk above it because of the fact that Canelo was off for steroids. Like, Canelo, we all, you know what I mean? Look at Canelo in his first fight. He's a fucking monster. Like, he's been obviously eating these steaks for years now.
Yeah, exactly. He's been eating those Mexican steaks for a long goddamn time. The next one I wanted to talk to you about is this one I'm actually kind of excited for, would be Joshua versus Wilder. Do you follow those big heavyweights?
I do, dude. I follow them both on social media as well, dude. So there's a huge, huge like debacle going on with those two for a while now. But I agree with this fight. I think this is actually a good matchup. I think we deserve to see kind of unify these titles and bring them together and see what happens. Joshua is a very, he's a good structured fighter. He has a very, very good, you know, basic fighting stance, basic fighting, you know, style. Then you got Wilder, who's just fucking that. He's wild as fuck, dude.
Yeah.
He's exciting as shit, you know?
Yeah.
I think this one, this is interesting. So I watched the Joshua fucking, what's the big fucking Russian that just retired.
Klitschko.
I saw that fight, and Joshua didn't impress me much, right? But he did win. But he got gassed really early. Heavyweights sometimes they're fucking hard to watch. But dude, if I have to pick this one, I think Wilder lands one. I think Wilder lands one and fucking takes it, dude.
Ooh boy, that would be awesome. I mean, look, I'm just excited for the first time in years about watching a heavyweight fight. So I personally hope that happens. If you get a chance to check it out, Joshua just has they just dropped a new Netflix documentary on him leading up to that Klitschko fight, and it's really fucking good.
Is it good? I haven't seen it, dude. I saw the Notorious. It was really good.
Yeah, Notorious was great. So that's on Netflix. And then that Joshua doc just dropped. And it's kind of taking you through his entire career through the Klitschko fights. And you get to see...
You can't tell me that guy's not eating fucking Mexican steaks too, bro. That guy's jacked.
Oh, he's huge. I don't know. He's very well spoken, very polite. I would have a hard time believing he cheats, but that's me personally. After watching this doc. Now, Wilder, on the other hand, that looks like the closest thing to Kimbo Slice we have, where they just pulled that motherfucker off the streets and he's just dropping haymakers on people.
Dog, dude, about... 3 years ago, there was a big scuffle in a fucking hotel lobby with him, Dante Wilder, and his crew, with a guy named Demetrius something. It's another heavyweight my dad worked with. My dad was in between this scuffle, dude. They fucking knocked my father down. He fucking landed on his ass.
What?
Yes, because Dante Wilder fucking started scrapping with Demetrius right there. The whole mob just kind of attacked him, like jumped the whole group. My dad was just right there in the mix and started trying to square up, and then someone fucking kind of hit him from the side, like kind of chest bumped him accidentally, as it was. Knocked his ass down. He's fucked up. And I'm like, what? So I get the call, and I'm like, who the fuck? And dude, they're in, like, Minnesota. I'm like, I'm calling some majors in Minnesota. I'm flying around. We're going to fuck these motherfuckers up, right? All of a sudden, my dad's fucked up, dude. I'm like, and the first word I got, I heard my dad got chopped. I was like, oh, hell no. We're about to kill everybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, but no, it was a crazy thing. He's a little bit of a thug and kind of a street dude, but fucking fun to watch, man.
Yeah, he's a blast to watch, man. You're right. Like, the entertainment factor of that is there, and that scuffle that took down what you just described sounds like when Tupac was stomping on people in that lobby right before he got killed.
That's what it felt like. It was just, if you watch the video, it looks like it's just a mob of dudes just rushing people. It's crazy. But man, his last fight, he showed a lot of patience. He showed a lot of, he was smarter. The guy he was fighting was a Cuban fighter. I believe he was an Olympian. Very, very skilled fighter. The guy was throwing haymakers and all this, and fucking Dante was staying real chill, real, real smart about it. And then eventually, by the seventh round, boom, he caught him. And I was like, holy shit, that was the best fight I've ever seen Dante Wilder do against a fighter who's well-trained, very conventional, and he did well. So I think if he took that approach against Joshua, I think he's going to have the same outcome.
Okay. And the last one I want to bring up to you is the potential match that everybody's been talking about of Mayweather versus McGregor, again, inside an octagon, but with different rules. I don't know if you heard about this.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. What are the rules again?
The rules are no kicks, no takedowns, so you can't wrestle. You're still wearing the same, like, you know, three-ounce gloves of the UFC. So it's essentially a stand-up boxing match inside of an octagon. Because you can't use any other, you can't grapple, you know? You can clinch the same way you can clinch in boxing. And the gloves are lighter, but there's going to be no takedowns.
So it's a boxing mat.
Yeah, inside of an octagon
with MMA gloves.
Yes. Who wins
that's scary for Mayweather? I mean, that's scary for Conor.
Is it? I wonder. Like, an octagon is so much different than a ring. Like, I wonder if Conor knows tricks to at least, you know, clench and get him against a cage. Like, I don't know who wins that, to be honest with you. Like, I would be definitely excited to see it, but I have no idea who wins that.
Here's the thing, dude. Unless fucking Conor catches him and Mayweather's chin is weak at this time because it's a 4-ounce glove, I think Mayweather wins again.
That would be a great one. I would go McGregor on this I think. If I'm forced to pick one, I go McGregor.
I just now hearing the rules. I heard the rules were different, but now hearing that, dude, it's a boxing match with 4-ounce gloves.
Yeah, yeah.
Which means he's going to fucking land his punches. He's going to move. He might get caught once in a while. It's going to be the same fight. McGregor's going to get fucking tired because he's going to be chasing this motherfucker around. He's going to be fucking getting caught. And then eventually, ding, 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 good night.
Man, I'm gonna go McGregor on this one. And when it goes down, hopefully it's in Vegas or something, and maybe we can get together and go watch it in person.
That'd be fucking dope.
I'd be amped for that. You remember this part of the show. You started it. You were on it. We're here for the drinking bro of the week. Is there somebody inspirational right now on one of your sets that you'd like to give the drinking bro of the week to?
Yes, dude. Actually, that's awesome. Emilio Rivera. Emilio Rivera is well known to be Marcus Alvarez.
Great actor.
Sons of Anarchy. He's the leader of the Mayans MC. He's the godfather, they call him. I'll tell you what, man, I've been around a lot of people in my life, and it's really hard to find someone who is brutally honest and genuine. What you see is what you get, but at the same time, he's willing to expose himself in the most vulnerable ways you would not think is of a character like him. He's an ex-gang member, then went to the military. Then from after the military, he went into acting, comedy. But he'll tell you his story, and he tells it so honest. I sit there sometimes and amazed, like, man, he's not afraid. Because you know what? He knows who the fuck he is. And he doesn't care if anyone thinks anything other than that. He's fucking who he is. Whether his fucking hair's falling, his leg hurts, or whatever the case it is. Whatever you want to say. Like, dude, he will tell you the truth about whatever situation. And however embarrassing it might be to most people to hear, he'll tell you the truth. And it's like, to me, I guess I envy that, and I try and live my life like that. I try to just be super honest with my life. You see my podcast, my writing, and he does it, and he does it in the most profound way. Like, that guy to me is my mentor. He's someone I look up to, and dude, I'm just blessed to be in the same room with him where I am, because it's always a conversation that in line. So that is my drinking bro of the week.
That's awesome, man. And I see you guys on social media hanging out a lot. It seems like you guys are pretty close. So I'm amped that you have somebody there on set with you like that every day. Listen, man, I love you. I appreciate you doing the show. Obviously, you're welcome back every single day. I know you're super busy. Remind people where they can find you on social media across all your platforms.
Yeah, for sure. Go check out my Instagram. It's vincent.rocco.vargas. You can also check out my other Instagram. It's going to be more of a podcast. That's Vinny Rock, VinnyRoc. On there, you can find like the Vinny Rock podcast. Obviously, it's on iTunes. It's on it's on all the platforms you can think of besides Spotify. I'm still working on that one for some weird reason. Either way, I have that. I got another little quick cast I'm doing. You can see the link on the Vinny Rock Instagram. That's just a little 5 minutes here and there throughout my time here in LA while I'm here filming and behind the scenes and getting in shape and all the crap that's going on. You guys find me. If you just need to go to my website, you can do that too. It's VinnyRoc.com, VinnyRoc.com. Check them out. I want to give a shout out to Letzinger's Whiskey and TalkingBeer.com for just kicking ass as my companies and then fucking all the support I get from all you guys. Trust me, man. Every fucking message I get, everything I get from you guys that says, you know, I'm an inspiration or I motivate you or all these things, but trust me, those things are not good. Looked at and forgotten. I hold them dear and I appreciate it.
Well, hey man, I love you, man. You're one of our best friends, and dude, we miss you. Thank you for doing the show.
For sure, brother. We'll see you guys later.
All right, I'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye, buddy. That was Vincent Vargas, aka Rocco, aka the chinchesting man in the world, the most chinchesting man in the world. We love him, man. We miss him being on the show. I know you guys miss him as well. And, you know, look, sometimes life and career and all that stuff takes over. It has nothing to do with friendship or any falling out or nothing. It's just an amazing path in life. And when you get to do a show like The Mayans or the unnamed network show that he was also filming for the last year, you've got to take those opportunities when they come because they can really, really help out your family in an unbelievable way. And it's tough to find jobs that pay like that in this life. So for Vincent Rocco Vargas, I am Ross Patterson. We're still the drinking bros, no matter what, through and through. We love you. Good night, everyone.